It's the Last Call podcast with Chris Michaels. That's right. I was on sabbatical in the American Southwest in Arizona. I went out there for a friend's birthday. We went to the rifle range. I fired all kinds of wonderful firearms, and I did learn something about myself while I was out there. If you ever see me with a gun and you're concerned, the safest place that you could possibly stand is directly in front of me, because then you know that I wouldn't be hitting you. I am a terrible, terrible, terrible shot. Awful, awful shot. So, have no fear. If you see me with a gun, you could laugh. I did have an intention on doing a podcast about electromagnetic fields and the issues they create on organs and tissues. So issues and tissues. But as we all know, in these types of studies from the National Library of Medicine, old Chris Michaels has problems with words, because said words are very large, and they are $5 words, so I have to do some research on said terminology and boil it down to the lowest common denominator so that everybody can understand it, especially me, because 9 times out of 10, I will not say the effing thing correctly. So look for that later on in the week, probably. I missed Monday. So probably on Thursday, when I have a little bit of time to actually do some research. There was a little interesting story that I saw on Giza Death Star over with Joseph Farrell's website. And they talked about the explosion in Ohio and what those chemicals could potentially be made into. Ultimately, a chemical weapon. Now, somebody decided to put forth that this explosion and these chemicals were supposed to occur in the Ukraine. Well, not these chemicals occurring in the Ukraine, but the chemicals were being transported to the Ukraine, and said explosion was supposed to then occur in the Ukraine and make it look like a false flag attack. In other words, the Ukrainians wanted to make it look as though the Russians did something nasty and used chemical weapons, just like what we saw after the explosion in the Ukraine, in Ohio. See where this all goes? Interesting little tidbit, because I heard a lot of rumors from extremely pro-Russian outlets that the Ukrainians were planning to do this exact thing just before the explosion in Ohio. I didn't bring it up because I read a lot of rumors. I don't bring up all of the rumors that I read, but they are there and I am aware of them. So I don't know. I think that could be something to glom onto. And Dr. Joseph Farrell says that basically what you have to start considering is not only what Chris Michaels has said, and you're looking at Stuxnet and various cyber attacks, but you also have to consider the fact that there could be white hats, black hats, and gray hats acting in the United States. So bad guys, good guys, and middle-of-the-road guys, all doing their own thing, all acting in their own interests, all trying to either stop a war, be on either side of the war, or create more war. That kind of clandestine effort is going on as we speak. And you can see a lot of that in the January 6th rabble rally and what happened over there. So ultimately, what that little tidbit article really says is that we currently are at war, no matter which way you look at it. And it may not have hit us in the extreme way as World War I or II just yet, but it is coming soon, which brings us to academics call for World War II style rationing of food and fuel to, guess what? Stop climate change. That's right, of course. If we had to declare war on COVID and the dastardly virus, then we should be able to do the same thing to combat climate change. Declare war on climate change. Yes, that's right. That's exactly what we should do. Despite all of the evidence to the contrary, where, guess what? There's no global warming. Oh, so then it changes to climate change. I suspect that the climate change that is now occurring could either be man-made, hello chemtrails and HAARP, or it could be a natural occurrence that has, in fact, gone on for tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands, if not millions of years, as a natural cycle. I would lean in that direction. Now, I did click on the research paper, rationing and climate change mitigation. But the effing thing is long, and I don't have enough time to read through the whole thing because it's by a bunch of academics that have nothing to do with their time other than write a lot of words to make themselves feel important and justify their positions wherever they're employed. That's one of the big problems that you have in academia. Oh, I've got to write a paper, and I'm going to write it and use a big introductory paragraph, and I'm going to use flowery words that mean nothing more than boiled turds. So the crux of that whole thing is that all of the rationing efforts that occurred in places like the United States, in England, in Leningrad, in Russia during World War II, we should start enacting those same kinds of policies to create a zero carbon environment. Okay, so if you know anything about Leningrad during World War II, the Nazis surrounded Leningrad and laid siege to it for a very long time, for literally years. I don't know about you. I don't want to live my life as if I am being besieged by Nazis. I'm sorry to tell you this. And they bring up the fact, the psychological aspects of all this, that a lot of people will sacrifice most of their lives as long as they believe that all classes of society are making the same sacrifices. So if I can't have 10 pounds of tomatoes per week, and the rich guy down the block who owns a mansion also can't have 10 pounds of tomatoes a week, then I'm okay with that. And you saw COVID. Remember all of the mandates and the masks and distancing and, oh, you can't go to a bar and all that. Everybody was subject to those same rules, and most of the rubes that we know fell for the carny trick, hook, line, and sinker. So that kind of mindset, that kind of psychological strategy, everybody is suffering, so we all have to bear it, works. We know it works, but we have to start fighting against it. Ultimately, this stupid paper asserted that a rapid reduction of global emissions is needed, and that the rationing similar to standards enforced during the two world wars, and specifically those measures used during the second, should be enforced again by governments, only this time rationing what not would not be in the name of supporting war, but in the name of a climate catastrophe. Why, goodness gracious. Would anybody really fall for this? I would suspect they would. And does everybody remember what happened at the World Economic Forum? Remember that Alibaba president, Michael Evans? He was throwing around, oh, well, we have the ability to start using individual carbon footprint tracking. Oh, yes, thank you, Mr. Evans. That's exactly what we need in our society. Individual footprint tracking so that you know how much carbon I spent when I pinched off a loaf. You know how much carbon I spent when I fired up the fridge or fired up the oven. And oh, you spent too much energy using the washing machine and the dryer, so that means that there's no dinner for you tonight. No dinner for you, or you can't drive to go on sabbatical. You can't do it. That's what they're talking about with this individual footprint, this carbon tracking footprint. It's extremely disturbing that many people will fall for this time and time and time again. And like I said, what happened during COVID? Everybody fell for it, except the listeners of the Last Call podcast with Chris Michaels, because we know better, and you were listening to me. We were able to view this through a critical lens. We saw the BS. We saw the nonsense. We were able to say, you people are effing nuts. And we find out that we were right. We were right. And do you know how we know that we were right? Because in New York City, they're selling off those ventilators. Remember, everybody had to be on a ventilator. I even did a show that the ventilators are probably the worst things for you because you shouldn't be doing those kinds of procedures on somebody that's having difficulty breathing, no matter what they tell you. And the nurses aren't going to say anything different, and certainly the doctors wouldn't dare go against Dr. Fauci. No, because of the whole medical license issue. So what does this mean? It means that New York City sold $200 million worth of COVID-era ventilators for guess how much? $500,000. $200 million of your tax-paying dollars was sold for merely $500,000. That's it. That's all there was to it. And Mayor Adams was like, oh, well, we only need a 90-day stockpile. So we have to get rid of it all. These people should be held accountable. The thing with this is that COVID was a massive, massive money grab, a massive, massive power grab. Remember all of the power that these governors wielded? That was a test bed for something else, whatever that something else could possibly be. And which leads us to the other issue behind all of this. The nations that did not fulfill their depopulation quotas. Remember how Catherine Austin Fitz, she came around and said the only thing that makes sense on why certain populations and certain vaccines had certain adverse events, why some places were worse than another, was because these regions, these states, these countries more than likely had some kind of depopulation quota. You're responsible for reducing the population by 10%. You're responsible by 8%. You're responsible by 5%. So they distributed these vaccines based upon those quotas. Interesting theory. I could go along with that. You know, I probably do. We're also finding out, like I said two years ago, that a lot of these vaccines full of adverse events and foreign particles went to Republican states. So what does that mean? It means that more than likely Republicans had a higher percentage of adverse events per capita for the amount of injections they've taken. Why does that matter? They don't want another Trump-type character to be elected, so they had to go through a depopulation effort and subsequently try to flood those states with illegals so that in the future, 4 years, 8 years from now, they will have voters so that those voters will go in the direction that the World Economic Forum types want those states and countries to go. Very dystopian, but probably very true. One country that did not follow the quota, I suspect, is Brazil. And so that's why you've got this degenerate Lula in there. If you read anything about that election that got him into office, you would say it's 2016 all over again. A lot of chicanery, a lot of very, very dubious results that I wouldn't believe at all, ever. And suddenly he's there, Lula da Silva. He's in office. He meets with Joseph Biden not long ago. And what do you think happens? Lula has launched a COVID vaccine campaign. He said the vaccine is a guarantee of life. That's why I took my fifth vaccine today. And if there's a sixth, I will take the sixth. If there's a seventh, I'll take that too. Why are they doing this? In 2023, why is Brazil doing this? It's because, for a number of reasons, that country was not hit as hard as it should have been, according to the World Economic Forum types, as it should have been. The population is too high. Not enough people died. So that's why he's doing this. He wants to make sure that he follows along with the World Economic Forum types. He's been a friend of Klaus Schwab for 20 years. So to think that Lula is not going to enact these draconian dictatorial-style policies in Brazil over the next couple of years is really short-sighted on your part, if you believe in that. So what else is he trying to do? And this is where it really becomes damaging, because you have to look at what's going on a grand scale, right? Russia, China, they want a multipolar world. They don't want the United States to be the Ted Cheese anymore, because they're tired of being pushed around. They're trying to be, or they're tired of trying to be subjugated by the United States. So enough is enough. We have to fight for independence and so on and so forth. So what makes up this multipolar world? It's not just the West dominating everybody anymore. It's the West, the EU, the UK versus BRICS. What is BRICS? B-R-I-C-S. Plus, depending upon what you read. Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. What's going on in those countries? All of a sudden, Brazil magically flips to the World Economic Forum type. South Africa, now going through a massive civil unrest to the point where they're fully expecting civil war to break out at a moment's notice. What does this all say? It says the West is losing the battle in the Ukraine. It says the West does not believe that the Ukraine can survive what it is about to get hit with. So knowing that the Ukraine is lost, the West is now focusing its intentions and attention on breaking up BRICS. They want to make Brazil incorporated into the US, EU, UK yoke of power. They don't give two flying F's about South Africa. So they'll just let that burn. What's left? India, China, Russia. India could go both ways. I doubt it will. But they've suddenly, in my opinion, have knocked out two of the five major players in BRICS. Brazil and South Africa. This is real politic. That's what all of this means. And it's extremely sad that they're doing this kind of thing, because a lot of people's lives are at stake here. And the United States, knowing that they're trying to break up BRICS, is now trying to gin up support to go after the biggest prize. And that is basically the destruction of Chinese influence everywhere. Oh, all across the news, all you have to do is turn on a television set or go to your favorite news website and you suddenly see the Wuhan lab leak theory is actually true, thanks to the Department of Energy's report. Immediately, the liberal left went and said, well, we can't trust the Department of Energy. What do they have to observe when it comes to chemical weapons and weapons of mass destruction? Well, the Department of Energy takes care of a lot, including weapons of mass destruction, I might add. So people like all of the left-leaning idiots over there, they need to get that through their heads. Stop gaslighting people and stop removing the legitimacy of the report from the Department of Energy that did in fact say, the U.S. Energy Department, excuse me, that did in fact say that, guess what, a lab leak is the most likely event that caused COVID-19. So where did that come from? It came from Wuhan. So now we have to go after China. Now you're starting to get the social consciousness to be shifted over into the boogeyman of China next. That's how this is going to play out. But as always, we look slightly deeper than what's on the surface here at the Last Call podcast with Chris Michaels. And so this is what really happened, more than likely. You have an effing ton of biolabs in the Ukraine and in Taiwan. Last article I read, there were 1,200 biolabs in Taiwan. and over 200 of them throughout the Ukraine. It would make sense, because of some of the tidbits that Russia has dropped, that these strains of COVID or whatever were developed in the Ukraine, developed in Taiwan. They were not leaked accidentally. I would suspect that they were leaked on purpose, and I would sincerely doubt whether or not the leak actually occurred in Wuhan. It could be that they were working on a COVID-style weapon of mass destruction in Wuhan, but I would sincerely doubt if that's where it actually came from. That would make more sense. Because if you look into where these things were developed, and who was developing them, and who, which companies are aligned with which people, you find out that this kind of research goes directly to the top of the United States. Hello, Joseph Biden, and hello, Hunter Biden. Responsible for funding weapons of mass destruction, potentially, and responsible for completely upending the world in 2020 and more than likely stealing an election. That's going to be it for me, the Last Call podcast with Chris Michaels. I will be back this week, another two podcasts. I'm down one. I should have made a quick one, but I was just so exhausted. Like I am now, if you can hear it. So, as always, like me, find me, share me. Last Call Podcast with Chris Michaels, Last Call Caravan on social media outlets. I appreciate the shares. I appreciate the listens. And I will endeavor to bring to you more brilliant podcasting to round out this week.